Welcome to the Level Up Artist Podcast. We're your hosts, Adriana Amay and
Jackie Sanders. We are two art professionals sharing forward the advice and business lessons we have learned along our creative journeys.
We talk to artists, leaders, and art professionals to demystify the creative process and discover new ways to succeed as a career-minded artist.
If you find value in these conversations, please go ahead and subscribe. This will help other creatives like you find our podcast, and you will be notified when we drop a new episode every Tuesday.
On today's episode, we're going to be exploring the intersectionality between art and mental health. And it doesn't matter if you're a professional painter, musician, sculptor, writer, singer, coloring book genius, or you just like to dabble with art here and there. The impact that art can have on your brain is overwhelmingly positive. I mean, you can Google the stuff. There are studies about this. So we're just going to dive into this a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, which I think especially as a career-minded artist, which many of our listeners are, this can be super easy to forget, right? Especially if you get stressed out with deadlines and goals and hitting your business milestones. It can be really easy to get stuck in that side of the art-making business. But we hope that this episode is a good reminder of the many mental health benefits that having a creative practice can have in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we get started, of course, a quick disclosure. Mental health is a complex, it's just complex in general. And as fellow artists, we're obviously not qualified to provide medical advice. If you're facing any challenges that impact your well-being, please do reach out to a trained mental health professional who can offer guidance, validation, and the appropriate interventions tailored to your unique needs. With that, I will say, like, I have one, and it's been a game changer. Highly, highly encourage, like, if you're, you know, if you're feeling maybe like the need for it, that you actually do reach out and talk to somebody that's actually trained to be able to help you. So with that, one of the first things we want to discuss is recognizing the limitations of self-care and creative expression. Like, yes, art can be a healing tool, but it does have limits to it, and it is okay to ask for help. We need to normalize that, you know, and kind of remove some of that stigma around it, which is part of what we're trying to do by discussing this. Also, super duper important, you know, it's super important to prioritize your mental well-being, again, by seeking a licensed professional. And super duper important, I know everybody, you know, as you're listening to this, you might be in different financial situations. If you're worried about the cost and you don't have insurance to cover it, please know that there are a ton of free government resources, community health centers. There's training hospitals, in case you didn't know, that offer low to no cost services. There's nonprofits and even therapists that offer sliding scales. In my own journey for, you know, getting better with my own mental health, I found a lot of these online. They're very easy to find for the most part. And yes, I did find some that were willing to do sliding scales, which is amazing. There's a government website that we're going to link into the notes, but it's basically like samhsa.gov/findhelp. Anyway, so we will link all of this, but it's basically if you're listening and you are in the US, it's the US government's main website for substance and mental health assistance. If you're in other countries, obviously give it a quick Google search. A lot of times your own government will have these kind of websites that have links to different areas of, you know, mental health solutions, ideas, treatments, etc. So anyways, we will link it in the episode notes, but definitely it's something to look into. And with art, and we'll talk more about this, there is a sense of vulnerability that can come out of it, or sometimes like that experience of like being more raw with it. And with that can come uncovering some things about ourselves in this journey that then bring up other questions about our own mental health. So if that happens, please, please, please do talk to a licensed professional.
Yes, absolutely. Because in addition to getting that professional help, as you mentioned, Adriana, having a creative practice can be super helpful in that day-to-day processing of stress, emotions, just hardships of being a human being, right? Especially if there are things that are especially difficult to articulate verbally. I've participated in talk therapy before. And even before that, I would kind of joke that art was my therapy, but rather than having to pay for therapy, I would get people to pay me because I used my art making as a way of processing. Because I would journal and paint and sit in that emotional place in my studio as an outlet for processing emotion, processing trauma, but then also creating work out of it. But to your point, that then also allowed me to get deeper in my understanding of myself, of the world, which then resulted in wanting to seek guidance from a professional. So I feel like these two are kind of married together in many senses. So whether you're art making and seeking professional guidance, they kind of weave in and out and can be great supports for one another too. Because when you are stressed out, when you're having something just sitting on your mind emotionally, creating artwork can be that super helpful either initial release or continuous exploration of that emotion. Especially by utilizing colors, shapes, textures to convey what you feel in your body or you like feel the emotions of, but you can't quite articulate. That is a great way to explain that complex emotions that you can't capture with words.
Yeah, and through art, you get to explore some of the, the benefits, whether it's journals, like you mentioned, or doing different projects that can help you process some of those personal experiences, like, just kind of looking in the past when things were difficult at home. For me at least, art was always that kind of like sanctuary, that respite. So there's definitely benefits to it. And again, in experiencing therapy throughout the years, that is one thing I've actually been encouraged to do is to, write out some of my feelings or some of my experiences or even draw them out. So there's definitely some value in that. And then the other thing about, expressing those emotions through art is that it can also help you find some empowerment as you transform some of that pain and some of that adversity into something that. It doesn't really matter whether it's beautiful or not, honestly, but it's basically that art that you're creating allows you to reclaim ownership of your narrative, right? You're basically taking, I think of it almost like translating. You've heard us talk about how art is in many ways like a language. You're basically taking some of these experiences that may or may not be that positive and trying to translate them through art and transform them into something else, that a lot of times then people see it and they'll connect with it and say, like, there's something about this. I don't know what's about this piece, but there's something about it that speaks to me. And it might be speaking to them having a similar experience, even if you're not outright saying it through the art itself, right? Or even the title of it. But another big reason, of course, or link, if you will, between art and mental health is how I can reduce stress through that creative engagement. So, like I said, it can be that sanctuary, especially from that chaos of daily life, what was it? Anyways, there's a Picasso quote. I'll think of it later. But well, art like shakes off the dust from your daily life. It's something like that. I'll let y'all Google it. But essentially, like, it allows you to, kind of take a break, from all the noise, if you will, and try to be present, inside that creative process. It's almost like a bubble, You've probably heard it from other artists too, or have experienced it yourself. You almost lose track of time to a certain extent, like when you're in the zone. And as always, as we talk about this, like we're talking creative endeavors in general. Like it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm painting at the canvas or I'm writing a novel or things like that. Sometimes it could be something as simple as cooking or you're working out in the garden or things like that that still have that creative element to it and can still function to give you that pocket or that sanctuary, if you will. And then through art, of course, a big one that we kind of touched upon a little bit earlier is that idea that through art, you can embark on a journey of self-discovery, which in turn can help other areas of your life. So, for a lot of artists, when they're starting out, they do start out by copying, which is perfectly fine. You're emulating, you're learning. But once you move past that point of doing art from tutorials, which again, absolutely nothing wrong with it, and now you're at the stage where you are pulling some of that inspiration from within, then it can be very vulnerable, right? And through that experience of art, there's several things that you can do with it. But essentially, yes, like it is going to be a little vulnerable once you go into that more authentic area. And that's where, of course, we're encouraging you to seek assistance if needed. So, through this experience, one of the best parts, I think, is how you can have almost like a meditative session, if you will, right? When you're in the zone, whether you're painting, drawing, sculpting, etc. But like it can almost put you in a more, well, some people just straight up call it the flow, right? Let's just go with that, right? But I don't know, it's kind of like all that other noise kind of melts away, at least temporarily, which is great. And you could, if you wanted to, and I know some people that do, treat art to a certain extent also as a form of mindfulness practice. And I know for me and my ADHD, it's definitely good to do different mindful practices to help with my brain that's like going 500 miles an hour a lot of the times. It's a little disconcerting. And there's like it's like a 10 lane highway, and they're not all going in the same direction either. So it can be a little chaotic up there. So a lot of times getting into that flow state, as I'm creating art can help me anchor myself into that present moment, quiet out some of that noise, right? Alleviate some feelings of stress and tension that I might be feeling from deadlines and chores that I have to do, and I have this meeting coming up and things of that nature. And again, it kind of helps center, if you will, at least temporarily, and kind of get away from all that other stuff, at least for a little bit, at least for a little bit. We're not saying escape 100%, but sometimes it's good to get a break, right?
Yeah, and I think those are all great suggestions in terms of how you can utilize your creative practice for the in that way of becoming more present, becoming more self-aware. And I do think it's worth noting too that you can also do this with like varying degrees of intentionality, right? I think as artists, part of what draws us to a creative practice is these elements without us maybe even consciously thinking about them. So we love that it makes us super present and with our thoughts and connected to our bodies, connected to our emotions. It's not like we sit down all of the time and say, I want to connect with my emotions right now. Now go for the next 20 minutes. Like that's not always the intention that you set out. It's one of those beautiful byproducts of a creative practice. Or maybe it is intentional. Maybe that is why you started your creative practice. So I think that's also worth noting is that the role that your creative practice plays in that meditative therapeutic process varies for everyone and how intentional you are with it. But it's inevitably part of it, especially when it comes to thinking of it as self-care. I know we talk on the podcast a lot, like physical movement is a huge part of my creative practice, whether it's in the studio or outside the studio. My physical health is very connected to my mental health. And so I really see making artwork as the equivalent for my mental health as like going to the gym is for my physical health. Like I go to the gym, I play sports, I am active to stay strong, and to honor my body and my physical health. And making artwork for me is that same thing for my mental health, for my emotional health, to stay connected. And so, just like when I know I'm avoiding going to the gym, that's kind of telling me something. When I know I'm avoiding journaling or making artwork, that's also kind of telling me something. So, understanding the role that art making and mental health play in your day-to-day life, I is different for everyone. But I think that's also worth bringing up that it can be a great tool, whether consciously or subconsciously, that you use to become super present, to really focus in on one project and kind of let, to your point, Adriana, all the other thoughts like fall to the side, at least momentarily. But real quick, next we're going to talk about cultivating mindfulness and self-esteem through your art. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by our Level Up Artist courses.
We understand that life as a modern artist can be both exciting and overwhelming. Plus, there's a lot of information out there. So what do visual artists actually need?
We've spent countless hours of trial and error, weeding through tons of information to find the gold, so you don't have to waste your time going down those endless rabbit holes.
In addition to weekly calls, we have created video course modules to cover everything from artist documents to exhibition prep, social media to technology, sales strategies, artist mindset, PDF resources, templates, and so much more.
Ready to get started? Head on over to levelupartists.com to learn more, get immediate access, and level up your career today.
Welcome back, everybody. So, continuing on the subject of mindfulness through art, one of our favorite things is how art can help you embrace the beauty of that present moment, anchoring your awareness in the here and now as you immerse yourself into the act of creation itself. And through mindful art practices, it allows you to cultivate not just a deeper connection with yourself, which is what we've been covering here, but also the world around you, right? It's not just a one-way street, actually a two-way street.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite things about the art making process, especially as someone who I feel like I'm very connected to the spaces that I'm in, both my studio where I live, just like the immediate physical space around me. So making artwork in various spaces, whether it's out in nature, whether it's in my studio, whether it's in a new location, it's a great kind of gateway to that mindfulness because it helps me focus my attention on those sensory experiences. So what I'm hearing, what I'm feeling, if I'm making art over lunch, like what am I tasting? So really just connecting me in that moment to the energy and the space around me, especially doing things such as connecting to my body with kind of like the deep breathing or body scans into my art making practice before I get started or in the middle, really making sure that I am completely present while making the work, which, just a warning, can feel a little jarring at the end of a creative practice too. I don't know if other artists feel this, but sometimes when I'm in a very deep creative session, when I'm done, it's honestly almost exhausting. I'm like, whoa, it's like I'm got out of like a time warp. What just happened? Or if you realize, oh, I've just been painting for 4 hours straight. No wonder my back hurts because I've been like leaning over the ground on this canvas. So you realize through those body scans of just becoming more present and connected to the space, your body, but then also just with the artwork that you're making too.
Same, definitely been guilty of the whole I've been painting for hours or sculpting or muraling and then going, I haven't had lunch. Like, of course, I have a headache right now. Oh, so it can definitely make you feel hyper aware of your body and kind of like how you're feeling. But I mean, that's part of what we love about it, right? I also love that through this process, it kind of gives you permission to embrace imperfection and non-judgment, which can be hard with artistic endeavors, especially if you do this professionally. But I think it's extremely important, and it's something we talk about often on the podcast, of giving yourself the space, you know, to be curious, to explore, you know, to just be like, it doesn't matter if this leads to an actual outcome, you know, a specific outcome. I need to shed away some of those expectations and just play. Like, we all need that, right? As part of our creative process, we need to be able to generate ideas without the pressure of what is it going to look like at the end. So I love that idea of how it can help, you know, with that area of our lives. And also in finding, of course, beauty in the ordinary and the mundane, however you define beauty, of course, Celebrating those small moments of joy and wonder that arise during the creative process. That's probably one of my favorite things. It's just like sometimes it can just be, I don't know, a smooth brush stroke that came with a line that's so sharp for those of us that are OCD hard edge lovers that we're just like, I just love this brush. Like in literally in this moment, all I can think about is how sharp of a line I was able to create with this seemingly magical brush that's not magical at all, and it was only $2. Thank you very much. But still, it's like that idea of like, or removing the tape. Come on, you've all watched the tape videos, right? You know, and you as the, I mean, you as the spectator, right? I mean, that's really cool. But you as the artist removing the tape, you have that moment of like, ooh, like for a moment there, you're not thinking about you got to do taxes or you got to do laundry or you got to return a call for a potential client. At that moment, all you're thinking about is that ASMR element of like peeling that tape off that panel or off that canvas or off that wall. You know what I mean? Anyways, I wanted to give you an example because I'm like, yeah, no, let's, yeah, I definitely love those moments. That's something where I think like art is fantastic for. But speaking of, another thing about art and how it can support our mental health is I love how it can foster self-esteem and increase connections, how you can use it to transform your inner landscapes, whatever those may look like. Hopefully there's rainbows in there and it's beautiful, but of course we all have the shadowy parts too. But art allows you to take those inner landscapes and kind of, you know, foster a sense of self-worth as you go like, hey, I'm here, I belong here. These are like, this is my unique voice, this is my unique set of experiences. And through that sense, or I should say through that process of creating an art, you're almost like, what's the word I'm looking for? Validating or even accepting those parts of yourself as you go through it, right? Like understanding the good, the bad, and the ugly, as they say, like this is all part of who I am. It is all a part of how every fellow human is to a certain extent, of course. And through art, you get to acknowledge those parts of yourself and then transform them as you'd like through the canvas or whatever your medium is. So I love how through art, you get to celebrate those parts of yourself, but also how you get to celebrate your resilience and strength, you know, acknowledging that courage, like that Henri Matisse quote you see everywhere, creativity takes courage, where you get to share your vulnerability through art. Again, kind of like, you know, hitting on a point from earlier, once you move into that authentic part of expressing yourself through the art, I mean, there's going to be some vulnerable bits out there. So definitely pat yourself on the back, so to speak, and acknowledge that, yeah, it takes courage to do that. And then also, you get to build self-esteem through that process of creating, showcasing your work. Of course, like we said, imperfection and authenticity. But I think there's also the part of not that external validation is all that in a bag of chips, of course, but there's also that sense of, when you do put yourself out there, you create this art, you know, it comes from the depths of the within, you know, of yourself. And then somebody else recognizes it, can translate essentially what you're trying to put out on the canvas, the feelings, the emotions, you know, the experiences that you have, and they can quote unquote translate it. I mean, that's incredibly validating, to know that other people can, essentially read what you're putting out there, even if it's literally as abstract as it gets.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the, at least for me, one of those like most rewarding parts of the art making practice is one, like the support from your local community, whether it's an art community, whether it's a specific topic or conversation that you feel really drawn and connected to. You can really use your art as a way to connect with other like-minded individuals, share your passion for creativity or a specific topic, or really use it to cultivate conversations around empathy, understanding, having compassion for all these various human experiences that we're all kind of just navigating through on this journey. So art can be that amazing outlet that you can use to ultimately connect with other people. At the root of it, that, at least for me, is the fundamental of why I make art and why I love making art and having a local community of art supporters and fellow artists is human connection, because ultimately that's what all of us are craving on some level.
Yeah, it definitely is. And in times of uncertainty and turmoil, art, of course, can be there for you. Can be that sanctuary. Can help with healing. Can heal with connection, like Jackie just said. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, as we navigate all these different complexities that we all go through to a certain extent, may we continue, to nurture that creativity as a source of strength and resilience. Find comfort and inspiration and in how we can use art to transform some of those experiences, some of those feelings, some of those inner landscapes into something beautiful that somebody else can also connect to. So, yeah, for sure. And of course, last reminder, please, 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 again, as we've discussed, art is amazing and can be really healing and everything else, but if you do need help, please go ahead and seek it from a trained professional. That's what they're there for. And health is wealth, and I feel like a healthy brain is it probably makes the best art. So with that, we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up, and I hope you enjoyed this episode and say no to the tortured artist mindset. Go get help.
As always, our blog will be linked in today's show notes, where you can find episode notes and links for all the other podcast episodes.
And if you want to stay connected with us in between episodes, share your feedback, or have a question you would like for us to answer on the podcast, you can reach us through social media. I'm at MA Art across all platforms.
And I'm at Jay Sanders Studio on all platforms. And if you want to follow the podcast, we are at Level Up Artists on Instagram.
You can also visit levelupartist.com to get immediate access to templates, resources, and course modules to level up your creative career today.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.